Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we count it a great privilege to acknowledge your presence, knowing that it is a great mystery of the hour that the Lord himself would descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, appearing and doing those things that are declared in the word that would be done and have done them. And yet so many people did not see them because their eyes were blinded. They were obscured to it, Lord. We know that's also part of the word. Even as the eyes of Israel were obscured and blinded, that the Gentiles might come in, silence reversed. And we pray, Lord, we may honor this hour tonight by the study of your word, which we believe was given us by a vindicated prophet, to say it, to teach it, to believe it. And where those places are, we can live it. May it be lived. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 18 of Satan's Eden. And in Satan's Eden, number 17, and also in 16, but more particularly in 17, we noticed that Adam and Eve, and consequently the entire Adamic race, are the human flesh children of God, fell from a relationship of worship by communion and fellowship in the affairs of the kingdom of God on earth to a worship no longer primarily of father and children, but becoming God and his subjects, which would put them in a position more of servants rather than in a family recognized situation. Now, it was no longer the father-son concept without restraints, wherein the children and the father approached the future ages together in an open rule over the cosmos of God. Rather, God became veiled to them, and open rapport vanished. Fear constantly stalked them, even in worship, for God was no longer face-to-face with his children. But notice carefully and notice emphatically, God did not change from Father with all his Father attributes, but it was sin that had brought a separation and consequently the consequences. Now, in Isaiah 59, we read in verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Now, this is stating a basic principle of the attitude of Almighty God according to his characteristics and his own innate outworking. And the premise is set there as it was set in Eden. The father relationship was there. What happened? "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." So you can see a relationship that was in the beginning of such a marvelous association deteriorated through the disobedience which came through the enemy. Now, several times you've noticed that I have read Romans 1, 18 to 32. And every time I associated that with the time just before the flood or some terrible cataclysm of the judgment of Almighty God. But tonight, let's read it and take it right back to the garden. Now, it says here, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasonings, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." In other words, professing themselves to be sophists, like philosophers. "And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now you'll notice in there that they had a very definitive revelation and a rapport with God, and they did not hold the truth in righteousness, which actually means they did not hold it the way that God gave it to them and revealed it to them. And they knew so much about God from the pristine purity of the original creation. I always used to wonder why it was that you'll find in the Bible God demanded that people love Him, but it never said one word about God loving the people. You won't find that previous to the fact that God demanded the love. And I pondered it, and I came to the conclusion that everything was so propitiously outworked for their good, such as everything was there even before they called. He put them in this marvelous Garden of Eden, which was merely the prime paradise of the whole earth, which was one series of paradises, which no doubt started out of this world. We cannot visualize what was there as, you know, number one. But as it began to ascend in a crescendo toward the scale of Eden, Eden must have been as literally as lovely as God Himself would be if you could begin to look into Him and know Him for what He is and what He actually produced by His production. So therefore, there was no reason they could ever say that God did not love us. Everything was there, and you can see such a markdown in quality today and still marvel at the intrinsic and manifested beauty of nature as to realize what was there in the very beginning. And you notice what happened there. God showed them these things. Even the invisible things of God were visible to them, though it is true that God must have come down the pillar of fire and talked with them, as it said God would visit in the evening hour. And it says, but they did not glorify Him, neither were thankful, but became vain in their reasonings, and thereby the foolish heart was darkened, and professing themselves wise, they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds. And what it's telling you in plain English, they turned from the God to the God which was the serpent, which was just like a man. That's what they did. Now you can say what you want, but you're wrong if you say different. Right away they got to a false relationship and to a false worship. Started right there in the Garden of Eden. Now let's keep on going. Wherefore, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Now that goes right down to the sodomite condition of the world, who changed the truth of God into a lie, the lie is what it is, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now you notice the serving of nature started in the Garden of Eden as a sentence that the earth will not bring forth unto you the good of the earth without the briars and the thorns, and man shall now rend his food from the soil by toil and agony. That's what it says. So you see, they began to serve nature. And the serving of nature back there gave way to people not having an understanding of the superior forces of nature. So they began attributing gods to all those various forces out there until they even made gods of stone and trees and every vile thing under high heaven. And so because of this very thing, you will notice their disaffection with God, their idolatry. Now watch carefully. Because of idolatry, God gave them up to vile affections. The women did change their natural use into that which is against nature. They became lesbians, and the men became homosexual. And they burned in their lust one toward another, and they received in themselves that recompense of their error, what was meet. Now, what are we telling you here? We are telling you that because, as it was in the days of Lot, it's the same today. They were given over to idolatry. Now, listen to me. The world does not believe in idolatry. That is a lie from the pit of hell they do. Now, the Mohammedans preach one God, Allah, the Lord God of Moses. Now, they're all completely messed up with their doctrine, you know. And Buddha, she was the mother of Buddha, bore him from her right side or somewhere, not sex and all that kind of junk, you know. And so the world today now thinks it's rid of idolatry. That is a lie. Because idolatry brings forth homosexuality. Now, let's understand. I read you articles, and I presented the articles, and we talked about AIDS. And we say, now look, AIDS no doubt is a retrovirus, and it is. And AIDS could well have come from these vaccines, like the Salk vaccine, and vaccine for smallpox, and all of these things. And we know that it has caused chaos because it breaks down and ruins the immune system. But according to the Bible, AIDS comes from sex. It doesn't come from these other viruses. Now, evidently, the breaking down of the tissue, especially in men, from the lower colon, because they're sodomites, opens up the body to develop AIDS. Now you can say what you want. You can either believe the word of God or be a smarty pants, sophist, and end up with idolaters. I don't care. I mean, look at, I preach tough. When I see something in the word, I hang to it. I'm not interested. People tell you don't eat salt. The Bible says salt is good. So who cares about people say don't eat salt? They say don't eat butter. The Bible says eat butter. It's got good cholesterol. Fry your eggs in it. You're not going to die. It's all in your brain up here. My wife's more nervous than I am because I blare mine out. She doesn't. I don't have, we eat the same. I don't have any cholesterol at all. She's got the problem. Don't be stupid. I don't consider you are. I consider you very intelligent people. I don't think I'm so dumb myself, so I'm not wasting my time. All right. Now it says here, and even they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient, and out of this comes all manner of filth and degradation. Now you notice it started in the Garden of Eden. They listened to the creature. Their God was literally a man, so close to a man that the seed could mingle. This is where you got all your problems. The serpent took the place of God in the Garden of Eden. And later they degraded to such an extent they worshiped calves, as in the doctrine of Baal, the golden calves. And as Brother Branham said, the church has since then been a golden calf scheme. Only sometimes the calf doesn't produce too good, like Oral Roberts. He's had to sell his hospital to the Methodists. After God held him ransom for $9 million, it did seem like he should have held him ransom for $29 million. I don't know. Ever hear such nonsense? Now, this is a smart man with a university degree talking. PhD means piled higher and deeper. Now, as I said, God, as Father, did not change. But instead of face-to-face, it is a relationship of worship and communion by faith. Now, let's go to the book of Revelation and see, Hebrews, and see it's the same God. He doesn't change. The relationship is there. But it's on a different basis, and therefore it is more difficult to assume it by faith and to regulate it by the same faith in the Word. You understand what I said? All right, Hebrews 12 and 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Well, let's find out about the Father of spirits. Who is he anyway? James 1:16-17. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights. with whom is neither no variableness nor shadow of turning. It tells you right there, the Father of light is a designated person called God who does not have any change within him, and his designation is by himself, which is word. And the entrance of thy word giveth light. So therefore we're talking a God of spirits is a God of light. And therefore we are children of the word, the same as were Adam and Eve. And you can see the minute they left the word, they degraded their position and became physically a children apart from the word. But they couldn't change the fact of their generic or their beginnings, their generic beginning. Now, with that, we go to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. And you will notice in there about us and our relationship to Almighty God and His love, even though it seems to have petered out in the garden. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it's written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted sheep for the slaughter, and ain't all these things were more than conquerors in the loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities and powers, and things present and things to come, nor height nor depth nor any creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now that's an absolute statement of fact. It seems that that is not apparently so by what we see going on in the universe. But in spite of what we see in the universe, this love remains inflexible. It cannot be changed. It cannot be denied. But the children of God must now take it by faith. They cannot take it by face value because you're no more face to face with God. And the values of your senses are based entirely upon the physical. And they would make the word of God a lie. This is a faith proposition. With this, now we go to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and you will notice in verses 8 to 13, love never fails. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Tongues shall cease, and knowledge shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, the Garden of Eden was not a perfect revelation. It was their perfect in what they saw, in what they had. But when we're talking about the word perfection, we're talking about completion. And too late, they learned about immortality. Had they known the full scope, which they should have known by the very fact of what was present, they would have known about immortality. And so it slipped their grasp. Now notice what it says. We know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is a perfect is come, when the entirety shall come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Adam and Eve never developed. They did not give themselves a chance. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I be known even as I also am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now what is it telling you? It's telling you there's coming a time when the relationship which was stopped in the Garden of Eden shall be positively renewed and shall come forth in the perfection of what was there in the seed in the beginning and must now come to maturity at some date. Revelation 21:1-8. And I saw a new heaven and new earth, or the first heaven and earth was passed away and there's no more sea. Night John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Notice the placing is now no longer on children, but a mature adult body, which can match, which can match the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, because Eve was given as a helpmeet to Adam, and the word helpmeet does not mean she's going to help him, or as one person facetiously said, God did not give Adam a helpmeet, he gave him a helpmeet. And that person missed the point in his little joke, because the word help means a person like him. One of the same species, so now here you are. The helpmeet of Christ is the bride. And she is not only identified with him as though he were simply standing there in a glory which she shared, she is literally of the same substance he is, and in the entire glory because they are one, for she came from him. That is the only difference. She is a step down. That is in authority and magnitude. But as to essentiality, there is no difference. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Now, this is talking of the pillar of fire over the throne, of which this Lamb is the head of the bride, New Jerusalem. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "And behold, I make all things new." He said to me, "Write, for these are the words are true and faithful." And he said, "It's done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that's athirst the fountain of water life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Notice the sonship is restored in the union of Christ and his bride. So it is purely a family relationship once more, when everyone is singing and rejoicing like little kids playing around the maypole with the same innocent indulgence. Not in the folly of youth, but in the glory of vitality which comes from God. Now you see, Satan started this by the beast appearing as an angel of light. What did he start? He started this business of people getting into a false worship and getting away from the sonship principle. And we're going to watch this because it's very, very stunning. You see, Satan started this by the beast appearing as an angel of light, a messenger of light, or a messenger of the word. He turned the truth of God into a lie. As Brother Branham said, one word off, this message becomes dead. Satan said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven. I will be like the Most High." Eve foolishly believed Satan's own heart, and she said, "I will be as God, knowing good and evil." Are you getting the drift? Satan said, "I am going to be like God. In fact, I am going to be bigger than God." And Eve said, "Hey, I'm going to be like God. I'm going to be bigger than God." Do you realize that right there she denied her sonship, the fatherhood of God? For if Adam was a son of God, she already was a God, the same as Adam was. She denied the sonship of Adam and her son. Get thinking, what does it mean to you and me? If she had no problem doing that in the Garden of Eden, let me suggest that you and I have a real problem admitting we are sons and daughters of God. This is why it says in Philippians, "Let this mind be in which is Christ Jesus, who thought it be a prize to be grasped, retained, be with God, but made himself a reputation, and took upon himself the form of a man." That says the same thing, that you and me have the same understanding, that we came from God also, and were denied the privileges of Jesus Christ, because he was the only begotten Son, and we were one, he was one of one, and we are one of millions. And so therefore, in this lowly estate, this body of mortality, this body of sin, this body of degradation, this body of clay, this body of humility, this body which we hate because it causes us problems, even good and clean, decent feelings vanish away. Health leaves us. It's a problem. We must not deny our sonship in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eve started it. Just to be his children was not enough. She was going to make something of herself. You know you're not stupid. By the number of years, you know what I'm thinking. You can't tell already what I'm thinking about. Let every member know his place and don't think he's bigger and better than what he is. And don't try to be somebody you're not. You haven't learned from Lee Vail at all. I'm a little ashamed of you. I'm not nasty, and I'm just trying to tell you the truth. By now you should read me like a book after all these years. Just to be his children was not enough. She was going to make something of herself. She was going to improve on herself. Yeah. Oh, she knew God was leading her even. She got in competition with God. It was not enough to be the child. She wanted to be God, though you could never convince her that that is what she wanted. Church, come on. We're a denomination today, and why? Just notice, she foolishly allied herself with Satan. Satan, in Ezekiel chapter 28, 12 to 15, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say to him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, over here, in the first verses, he talks of the king of Tyre. Hey, talking of the big one there. Getting in here now to the prince, which is a son, a manifestation of the headship. Hey, no, first of all, he talks about the son, then he talks about the king. I beg your pardon, reversing it. Now, the son is the manifestation of the king, and the king is typing Satan because he's a progenitor of this world system. Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect, and beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That's got to be Satan. Every precious stone is uncovered. The sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx. There's your ephod. There's your breastplate. He's acting as a high priest there. As a mediator, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets, thy pipes prepared in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mount. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now watch. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity is found in you. Notice how perfect that was until that flaw came forward by an act of the mind. By the conflict of the word. Isaiah chapter 14, 12 to 14. How art thou fallen, heaven, Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which the weak of the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I'll sit upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. And that's exactly what Eve said, and she types the church. Now, if you deny that, you still don't have a clue to what is going on in this age. You just don't. All right, we can see here that the die is cast. Satan wants control over God's family. Now listen, he doesn't and he won't desire the role of father. Mm-mm. He denies that. He wants the role of God. But nonetheless, he gets the role of father because he is a father. Over in 1 John 3, we'll go there first. And you're going to find that all the fundamentals, even the Pentecostals deny this. And I don't care two bits for the Pentecostals because I was one of them. Many years of my life, I lay there amongst the chaff. Notice in verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. The devil's got children. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he loveth not his brother. This is the message you heard in the beginning. You love one another, not as Cain, who was a wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, the world hates you. So Cain was of the world. Cain was of his father, the devil. He wasn't the son of Adam and Eve, or he'd have to be a son of God. It's that simple. So where did the seed come from? It had to come from the beast. There's only one place, the serpent. He wasn't a big four-footed or slimy creeping thing. He just looked just like a man. The seed could mingle. He was tall. He was handsome. A far greater man than Adam. The human race was not meant to be large and heavy and tall. It's not true. The human race is much smaller. Getting rid of their back problems. The taller the back, the rougher your problems get. They weren't meant to be giants. Giants came why? When the serpent race interbred with the human race. Because the human race got too sexy for its own good. The men began desiring the beautiful women that came out of the serpent race. If you don't believe it, go over to John the 8th chapter. See what Jesus said. You think he was lying? The 8th chapter of John. In verse 10. I beg your pardon. Verse 44. You are of your father the devil. The lust your father you'll do. He was a murderer in the beginning. Abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of himself. He's a liar and the father of it. That's right. Jesus said up above there, I speak that which I've seen with my father. You do that which you've seen with your father. They said, Abraham's our father. Why? He said, if you're Abraham's children, he said, you'd believe me. But now you want to kill me. You do the deeds of your father. Notice what they said. Then they said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Now look at, Abraham had two children. And the one by Hagar was not by fornication. She was his wife. He took her away. There's only one place in the Bible you're going to find fornication. That's back in the Garden of Eden. You trace it back there in Cain was a son by fornication. Satan is the father. And he wants to be God of all. He is the reverse of God. He is a father, and he wants to be God. God is God, and he wants to be a father. Even Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, thy kingdom come. He didn't say, God in heaven, your kingdom come. He said, Our Father, which is in heaven. The Bible said the devil is the prince of power of this air. One fellow many years ago said, you better be careful when you pray Our Father because you could be praying to the devil. That's exactly true. There's the truth there. Now, Satan still denies his fatherhood. He won't unveil himself to that. But he's the father of lies and the father of liars, and he gets the worship of the world. You know, today the world does not believe in serpent seed. You know, back in the days of Jesus Christ, the people, after the man was wonderfully healed, born blind, they said, is not this the Son of God? Is not this the Son of David? And the Jews said, no, this is that other fella. So they put the serpent seed in flesh with the seed of God, the seed of the woman in flesh. Now today, you'll notice that people won't have that. Why, the Jews made it a spirit. They wouldn't have the Son of David there. They wouldn't do it. He said, no, this is not the one in flesh. Don't give us that nonsense. That's just, we deal in the spirit. And now in this age, they make Jesus a man, but they make the serpent seed a spirit. This fellow that started the way, you know, Vic Werwolf. I knew Vic very, very well. Knew him for years. He came to the conclusion everybody serpent seed rejects Jesus Christ. That's a lie. You're serpent seed from the one you're born from. Either came from God and had representation there, you came from the other place. It's just that simple. From the animal world. Why, listen, don't you understand this categorically? That if you are going to look to God as your maker, you have to understand your body was fashioned out of the clay. Now, Satan cannot do that, so he simply slipped into it, used an animal. That's all. And that came out of the clay. And the clay mingled. That's all. And you get spirits, and it's just the same as God, by His Spirit, can come into people's lives and anoint them with His own Holy Spirit. Satan can anoint people with His Spirit. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians and see what Brother Branham was referring to there. And he said in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter 3 to 12, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except the coming of falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that's called God or that is worship. Now notice, he's going to get the drop on every single thing, whether it be those who have some concept of God, even the Jews, to even those in the most ridiculous, humanistic, or animalistic worship that there is on earth. whether you're nature worship or humanistic, whatever you are, he's going to get a corner on all of them and make them come into line so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself or declaring himself that he is God. Remember not when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what hinders or withholds it, he be revealed in his time. In other words, it cannot come to pass until the hindering force, and what is that force? It is a spirit. Because that's what Paul said. What spirit is it? The spirit of God, as in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17. Now it's working. Then after that shall that wicked be revealed. Now notice you find two faces of revelation. One is where Paul admits he told them exactly what to look for. The second is when the person himself is there and manifests himself. One is a spiritual revelation. The other is a physical manifestation of self-revelation. And the devil says, here I sit. I am God to the universe. And he's going to sit right in the church of Rome. And no doubt he'll leave Rome to sit right in Jerusalem. So I'm taking over the whole world. And that will be the abomination and desolation without a bit of trouble understanding that. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. He whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And tells you right here, at the time before the Antichrist takes over, the truth of God must somehow come to the people. And they turn it down. They crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, exactly as it says in Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And for this cause, God will send them the strong delusion that they should believe the lie. What is the lie? You shall not surely die. That they all might be judged and condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now let's go back and find out what in the world that truth is. If you don't know it, you can find out. It tells you right here in the first chapter of the same book. And it says here, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glorious power. That's verse 9. Verse 10, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed that day. It tells you right there that what Paul said back there must be re-revealed in this hour, because that is that truth. And by believing what Paul said, which, of course, is 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the people will be able to escape it. Now, let's go back again. You can compare this to John chapter 8. We're reading what John says, over Jesus says in John. And I read it a little bit over here, beginning in verse 37. He said, "But I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you." There's something wrong then with these people's souls. They've got souls, but there's no place for the word. Now remember, the serpent had a place for a soul, but no soul. So he gets a hybrid soul. And that soul is animalistic because it has no place for the word. Animals go by instinct. They don't go by word. So these are brute beasts who follow their passions. And that's all you have. I speak that which I have with my father, seen with my father. You do that which seen with your father. There's two fathers, the God of heaven and Satan, because he said, I'll be just like God. They said, Abraham's our father. Well, he said, if Abraham was your father, you'd have the truth, which you turned down. Now you can see the ecumenical council. The ecumenical council comes in 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, which means there's one God. There is one Father. There is one human race. We may be trying to get there by different ways, but it's perfectly okay. Come on in. Everybody's welcome. So the Word of God goes completely out the door. There is nothing left. So let's go back to the book of Hosea and see what he has to say about this hour. And Hosea, of course, I think that comes just before Joel. If I can possibly turn to it after Daniel. Okay? The fourth chapter of Hosea. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Now, Israel is divided into Judah and Israel. The division is there. Now, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of heaven, yea, the fish of the sea, shall also be taken away. I'll ask you a question. When did that ever happen in history? It didn't. So still got to happen. Now you tell me when the waters have been so polluted, except in this hour, that the fish have all been dying. You can't do it because there's no history for it. You simply cannot put this any place but in Joel. At the time of the former rain. In other words, you're parallel of Scripture. Good and evil side by side. The climax of the word to the climax of anti-word. The climax of righteousness to the climax of unrighteousness. The climax of truth to the climax of the lie. To the climax of the catching away to the climax of the staying here burning. Let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priest. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet shall also fall with thee in the night, and I'll destroy thy mother. He's talking about mother. Who in the name of heaven is a mother to Israel? See, you're getting mixed signals here. What you're getting, what most people don't realize, that this is essentially to the Gentiles, but Israel is always included because the Catholic Church is everywhere and the Jews are everywhere and there's nobody else that is. You still got Jews in Palestinian lands, lands run by Arabs. I bet you right now tonight there's so many Jews over there in Egypt, different places, you hardly shake a stick at them. There's no place they're not, there's no place that Rome isn't. There's no place for the church. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I'll also forget thy children. Now he's talking about a people who are playing priest. And he's talking about the fact they're supposed to be priests to God and they have children. As they were increased, so they have sinned against me. Therefore I'll change their glory into shame. All right, now their glory to shame. What's turned into shame? You have a sexual connotation here. There's nothing you can do about it because this is what we read in Romans. They eat up the sin of my people. They set their heart on iniquity. There shall be like people, like priests, and I'll punish them for their ways and reward them for their doing. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom. Old mother harlot with all her daughter harlots. And shall not increase, because I left off to take heed of the Lord. Whoredom and wine, and new wine take away the heart. Now that's exactly what the book of Revelation says. My people ask counsel of their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. Now you know what that refers to. That is a spiritual idolatry. They sacrifice upon the top of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills. Now you show me a Catholic church that doesn't have the high places. Under oaks and poplars and elms. And you can get there with the Hindus and the Buddhists, the whole bunch of them. They also got the banyan trees and the whole bunch. Because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughter shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. In other words, it's a very good thing to belong to the church. In fact, if you don't belong to the church at the end time, you can't have any food or clothing or shelter or anything else. Just as the Catholic Church and the Protestants have bought the souls of people, they're going to do the same thing at the end. You see, we're all winding down. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores. And they sacrifice with the harlots. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet not let Judah offend. See, there's a difference now. You can talk now about the church and the bride. And come ye not into Gilgal, neither go up to Beth-Aven, nor swear, the Lord liveth. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now, once you come out of Babylon, don't ever go back. Now, the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Now, remember, that's when Polycarp went to Rome to take the Catholic Church away from the idolatry they got into. And a voice from heaven thundered, let them alone. Let her alone. She is joined to her idols. And Polycarp went to Rome and did everything he could to stop the Roman Catholic Church from going into the present condition she is now in, and he could not stop her. And she is the first organized church, the mother of harlots. And she's the only church sitting upon seven hills. And she is the only person, has a man that stands there as God, forgiving people. She's got the only priesthood where the church is raising up children. And the Protestants have all flocked back to her. Satan is controlling the churches. This is where you see the whole thing, as Brother Branham taught us. Now we're going to go to page 10. And we're going to look at paragraph 37. What do I want? 10? 37. Now Satan, by this fall of Adam and Eve, has taken over and possessed the Garden of Eden himself. He took it over, and he's had 6,000 years of deceitful rule, deceiving the people, God's children, as he did then. Now remember, their deception does not make them less a child of God, but their position is far less than it should be because of what they are, based upon what God is. Because they were based on free moral agency to act any way they wished to and believing that they would act right or trusting they would act right, then they came with the wrong act and sold their birthright as Esau did for the world. And Satan won it and took it over. He's had 6,000 years to build up his Eden, as God has 6,000 years to bring his Eden to a close. And by deceit of the world of people now establish his own Eden on earth in sin. So Brother Branham is telling us at this particular time, Satan's Eden is ready to receive its king, which is Satan himself. It's right to the end. In other words, it started in deception. It was the prime deception at that time. Listen, Eve, everything is fine. Look, he said, you've been cheated because you should be as God. In fact, you can pull a march on God. You can be right up there. Exalt yourself. And so she did it. Paragraph 38, God's Eden was established in righteousness. All right, what was established in righteousness? It was God who put everything in perfect order with a perfect word, and everything was exactly the way it should be. Satan's Eden is established in sin. And what is sin? It is unbelief. You say, well, you think by now Satan would believe God's word. This is impossible. History shows he's never believed the word. He's always thought he could circumvent it. When you really believe the word of God, you won't try to circumvent it. You won't try to live apart from it. You'll say, this is it. And that's where righteousness comes in. God is righteousness. God's kingdom was established in righteousness and peace and life. Sure it was. And Satan's was in sin, even religious sin. Isn't that exactly what happened with Cain and Abel? And wasn't that what Satan was pulling off? Sure it was. See? Satan's kingdom is established in sin, even as with Cain, who did not believe. Now, what does it say at the end time? It says, because of their unbelief of the truth at the end time, whatever that truth is, they're going to believe the lie. And then when they do that, Satan's kingdom goes into its finest establishment. Because that's the time the bride gets out of here, she's gone. And the world is right in the hands of the wicked one. Now, notice, it's established in religious sin, not communism, nor rejection, not atheism, no, not communism, but religious sin. In other words, it'll be very close to the Bible, very close. Notice how he deceived it in deception as he said he would. That's a little verse in Ephesians over here. the fifth chapter of Ephesians and the sixth verse, and I want you to notice the language. It says here, let no man deceive you with vain words. Well, deceit is a vain word. He says, I love you. He's a liar. It's a vain word. Hey, these bonds are going to bring in big money. He's a liar. They're vain words. So they said, deceived by vain words, that sounds like a redundancy. Now, Brother Branham does the same thing, deceived by a deception. What it is, it's a double emphasis to make you understand, hey, this is tricky. These words are vain. Satan said to him, hey, you can be like God. She already was like God. She was a daughter of God. He deceived her right there concerning who she was. Satan has deceived the church. The people cannot believe their sons and daughters of God. The very first lie pulled in Eden was, hey, you're really not sons and daughters of God. That's why Brother Branham becomes a perfect fool and a theological jackass. When he said, you'll realize one day, the day you thought you were saved, you almost were saved. How does the power of God get into sin? Never did. What's the resurrection all about? Your bodies. Your soul either has eternal life or it's going to be destroyed, period. Always had it. My sheep hear my voice. My children know. You couldn't be my children unless you had my life in you by a sexual act. There's no way. How in the world could I have a child? You have a child that's a child of God unless we came from Adam. Never mind the one lump of clay. We'll talk about that sometime. But to worry about it, we'll get to it. And we go longer. Now, he's talking here. They deceived the people. So I want to quote from Isaiah chapter 14. This is the very beginning. How art thou fallen from heaven? You know, he's, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How are you fallen? How you cut down to the ground, that weak of the nations. You said in your heart, I'll ascend into heaven. I'll exalt my throne above the stars. That is the sons of God. I'll be above them. So I'm going to take over the sons of God. I don't even, you know, I don't want my own sons. I want these sons. I will sit upon the mount of congregation, side of the north. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. You know that Satan is the cause of all adultery and all divorce and all remarriages that are wrong? I'm going to be above the sons of God. I'm going to take over the bride. I'm going to take over the wife of Jehovah. Lying adulterer. There's where marriage and divorce came from. Came right that way back there. Messed right up in the Garden of Eden. I'll ascend above the heights of the clouds to be like the Most High. Now notice in here, he's called the Son of the Morning. In other words, he was right up there by creation with Jesus Christ. Side by side with him. Satan stood there and Christ in the form of Michael stood there. Absolutely. Sure. Now always it was Satan's word against God's word. And Satan doesn't have a word. He only perverts the word that's there, just like he perverts out here. So therefore, when you see in Satan a perversion. He's a disobedient one. Now notice here, said Satan, he said, I'm going to ascend up into heaven. Now, when he came down and talked to Eve, which is a type of the bride, the woman typing the church, and this is a true church that fell, Satan comes on the scene and he said, now listen, I want to tell you something. I'm going to put you in my stature. Which means that you are going to be above God, and I'm going above God, and I'm going to take you up there. Now listen to me. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now he is telling the church, I'm going to do for you what only Jesus can do. which is to raise the dead, to change the mortal to immortal, and take them up in the rapture. But the church says, we are going to see that you make it. We will guarantee you, on the grounds of the authenticity of our word, and we really know the word, and the experience that you have in our church, we guarantee that you will be in the rapture, which they call the appearing, and that is a lie, because the rapture is not the appearing. The appearing is before the rapture. Now, you Bible students, just in case there just might even be one that missed this, I want to take you to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and I want you to read with me. In verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now it says at the time of the appearing, we're going to see Him, and we're going to be like Him, because we'll see Him as He is. Now you know and I know that you cannot be in the rapture until you're changed. And you and I read from right in the scripture here that you cannot be changed unless you see Him. So therefore, you've got to see Him before you get a change to go in the rapture. Now nobody but us believes that. You say, Brother Bill, you say every church is wrong, but this little church here. No, every church is wrong except those that believe the Word of God the way it's written. Now, the devil says, hey, that isn't so. And if you're going to tell me that Reverend so-and-so is going to miss it, I ain't telling you nothing. But I'm going to read you something. I'm going to read out of 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. I'm going to read verses 15 to 19. And you listen to what it says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat of the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is all repassed already, and overthrows the faith of some. Nevertheless, the faith of millions will be overthrown at the end time. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, though having this seal, the Lord knoweth them which are His. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity, depart from Satan's lie. It tells you this, that no church can guarantee you anything because your name is on some stupid record or that you subscribe to some certain thing. It tells you right here, there is only one way you're going to miss the tribulation, and you've got to believe the truth, whatever that truth is. And it's going to be the lie, because it's going to say, oh, you're going to live. You are a son of God. Yes, you are. And you're a son of the devil, because the devil will not recognize paternity. He says, I'll give you the blood test. Give you the blood test like fun. The blood test doesn't work. It's the word test that works. Where are you going to stand? I'm not mad to anybody. Just let you know the truth. It's on. Same old liar. Same old gullible woman. She's the church. Gullible. Believe the lie. Let me ask you a question. If she in that condition could be fooled, and the first church age under Paul could be fooled, do you think it's a hard thing to fool anybody 2,000 years after? You know, there's litigation going to go on because some people in a high invested in looking down deep in the ocean and finding where that gold is, right off the coast. And now certain firms in London said, hey, we insured it and paid money. We want it. Why didn't they go and get it? You know what I'm trying to tell you? Litigation over whose is whose. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, I'm a son of yours. I cast out devils. Huh? Well, you're no son of mine. My sheep hear my voice are in the fold. I'm not preaching tough, I'm just preaching the word. I got nothing to do with this. I just preach it. I never wrote it. I just preach it. It's not, you think I'd write this book? No, I wouldn't write that book, neither did anybody else. God wrote it. Now compare that over here with this business of Satan arising and fooling the people, you know, going to take them up with him, with the scripture in Thessalonians a while ago, how he said he sits in the temple of God exalting himself above all that's called God, so he is God, is worshipped as God upon the earth. Now Satan said he would do it, and he started with Adam and Eve, and he's doing it. Because there's nothing in the Bible that says he won't do it. There's everything in the Bible that says he will do it. And the Bible said all those that follow him will be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are. There is the God of this world that I preached to you about last Sunday. Here he is today in deceit, that treacherous hour. The tremendous time that we're living, it is the most glorious time of all ages, but we're facing the great millennium again. What does he mean? We're facing the great millennium again? Jesus does all three things. God does everything in threes. At the time of Adam and Eve in the garden, had they lived true to the precept to a certain number of years, they would have gone into the millennium, and there under those conditions would have brought forth children. They blew it. Under Jesus, they could have come in. Why? Because the dead also raised at that time. They blew it. Now, the third time is the end time today, and they won't blow it. You say, well, there could have been a fourth time. There could have been, as you look at Israel, going in. But that was merely a certain part of a type. Now, notice, we're facing Eden again. But right at this age, all the deceit and every tactic he's ever used that's been able to deceive the people with those tactics, he has gathered it all together and reinforced himself and come down like God and put himself in the place of God, religious-wise, and can quote the Scripture, can tell you the Scripture, just as Satan did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. But leave out one spot. That's all he has to do. Make that gap, that chink in the armor, where the poison doctrine of the devil can pour through like the thinking man's filter we talked about the other night. Now let's go to the armor of God in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, beginning of verse 11 to 17. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that word wiles means to lie in wait. It also means the methods. The devil's got a method. What's his method? Deceit. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, what is this talking about? Talking about spiritual seduction. This is not a case of rape or gang rape. This is not a case of marauding and mayhem. This is not a case of bludgeoning. This is not a case of attacking poor old little old ladies and beating them down. This is deceit. This is a matter of what you would definitely call seduction. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Where are the loins? Loins speak typically of the organs of reproduction. Eve was seduced. She got into an act of seduction physically. And this what speaks of the same thing. If you have the truth, you cannot be seduced. So you take your loins, you cover yourself with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, O God, I sin not against thee. Your feet shod with the preparation, the gospel of peace. What is that? That's a period of sanctification. That's a sanctification going on. Where you walk daily with the Lord with peace because you have peace with him through the word. The sanctifying God of all grace. Above all, in other words, overall, your whole complete, everything is covered with the shield of faith. Your belief in the truth, whereby you can quench every fiery dart of the wicked. Okay, here's a man burning. What's he do? He marries. Here's a church that's just anxious to get into what you'd call idolatry, which is typified by sexual deviation. She's burning for it. You don't burn when you got faith in the Word of God. You don't want to run and jump in bed with some organization. You want to put your name on some book. Why? When you're married, you take a man's name. Baptism is Lord Jesus Christ. There's no record of anything in the Bible other than Lord Jesus Christ. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the Roman Catholic Church admits it. They said, we are the ones that gave you that doctrine. And therefore, if anybody is baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are a Roman Catholic. That's why anybody can marry in front of the altar in a Catholic church anymore and not behind it. There's no Protestants anymore. Rome claims everybody is baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the church loves his seduction. Another man's name. Take the helmet of salvation. What's the last thing you put? What is it you put on? The helmet of salvation. What is it? That covers the head. You're going to protect what? Your eyes and your brain. The next thing, all of these things are defensive. There is only one thing that gives you an offensive instrument, and that is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Bible, Brother Branham categorically said the truth. He said, the conduit of the Holy Ghost is the Word. That's why no serpent's eating every gap tied through the Holy Ghost. There's no place in him for the Word. Jesus said that to the Pharisees. He said, you can't take my Word because there's no place in you for the Word. And if there's no place for the Word, there's no place for the true Holy Ghost baptism. Oh, you can get anointed on the outside. That's no big deal. Now, the Bible said he would exalt himself above the Most High. He would ascend above the clouds and stars, and he would sit there like God, above the Most High, be above the Most High, and he has succeeded in carrying out his threats. That's his own self-prophecy against God. That's proven by the opening of the seals. Vindication. He has certainly had a marvelous success in carrying out his threats by the people let him explain away in every age the value of God's promised word to that age. That is exactly how he did it. In every church age, he explained it away. Look at when God raised up reformers in the great Roman Catholic Dark Ages. Why, the church explained everything away. Just ran it right out, right down the tube. See? Now, way back there, you have a tremendous taking over of the Word of God by the people under Nimrod when they built the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, as I told you before, was an obelisk surrounded by 11 acres of what was concrete or rock, and in there all the signs of the zodiac, which definitely is the Bible written in the stars. Now, if you get Bullinger or Seiss or various ones, you will find that all these mythological people actually is the gospel in the stars. And you can see the whole Bible there. And that's what they said we're going to do. We are going to have the Bible that's in the stars put in the stone. But it wasn't time. The Bible in stone was to come, had come already. I mean, it wasn't that time because the Bible in stone was in the pyramid under Noah. And this now was the age following. And you see, they're getting closer now. They said, okay, we've got it here from stone. We got it pointing up in the heavens, and this puts us in a higher category. Now, this is exactly what Satan has always said. Now, you wouldn't be with those holy rollers out there, would you? You aren't that cheap kind of religion out there. Look at us great Catholics, our beautiful temple, our fine priesthood, all these things. See, Israel, look at their great temple. They got destroyed. When you put your trust in these things instead of the Word of the living God and the life within the Word, all these things are wrong. Now, that's what they said in the Tower of Babel. we're going to get higher up and keep exalting ourselves. We're going to get up there. And that's when Satan began interpreting the Word to the people, and then it got entirely out of hand because it got into idolatry. Now, notice here. If God and His Word, which is Logos and Rhema, are one and the same, then so is Satan and his word one and the same. Now, people don't like that. See, that's why people try to tell you Rhema and Logos are not the same. This man that says he believes a message, he is completely perverted. I wouldn't let him in my pulpit. I would tell him to go outside the door. I said, what are you coming here for? We got no time with you. You got no time for us. Because you're wrong. You pervert everybody you get near. Oh, he hates the thought of people saying, I'm in the message. I won't tell you it gets all mixed up, but they're all full of Europe. Europe's all full of this nonsense. Raymond Logos is one of the same, and so is Satan in his word. And if God is in his word, then so is Satan in his word. And you can only worship by a revealed word. Traditions will not do you a bit of good. So I'd ask you a question. Then who is revealing to the church that's false? Satan is. Then if he says to the people, this is the revelation of God, who are they worshiping? They're worshiping Satan through the church. See? No two ways about it. Go back to Cain. Whose life was in Cain? Satan, the beast. That's what it was. Controlled by Satan. See? Now, education is the great problem. In the days of Noah, he explained it was impossible for it to rain from heaven. There was no rain up there. There was no rain up there. It was just H2NO. Hydrogen and oxygen. There's no water. The water rose off the ground in a mist. Never came down. No, it didn't come down. It came off the ground. The Bible says so. Now it was up there in the form of oxygen and hydrogen. But there was no electricity in the air at that time. No thunder, no lightning. No rain came down. But they blew it. Rain did come down. See? Why, they said, well, we've shot our instruments to the moon. No water up there. But God said it would rain and did rain. Now, in the days of Jesus, he did the same thing. Satan poisoned their mind by deceit, misinterpreting the word. If thou be the Son of God, now let me see you do something about it. Trying to force God. Jesus didn't clown for him. Now, what is the clowning that Jesus didn't do that is done in this hour? Now, this is going to startle you. Healing the sick, raising the dead, prophesying, and gifts of the Spirit out of their place and out of order, and especially not glorifying God. Brother Branham himself was accused by the angel of God as putting the things of God in a circus atmosphere. And I knew Brother Branham very well for many, many years, and I never ever thought that could be the truth with that man. So therefore, the reverence that is due to God and the respect to his word was missing even in a prophet of his integrity. And he had to be put straight. Then what about the church? For Jesus will say, many will come in that day and say, have I not cast out devils in your name and raised the dead and healed the sick and so on? And he won't argue. He'll say, but I never knew you. You made a sideshow of it. You were the ones who couldn't keep the word within the framework of the word. You never believed the word for the hour. Now, Jesus never clowned. He never did. God is not a clown. He doesn't have to answer anything that Satan asks or demands. Jesus said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He didn't have to clown for it. He didn't have to make bread. He could have done it. Sure, he could have done it. But then he would have been listening to the devil, and so he didn't have to listen to the devil. Now something. You know something? Brother Branham says, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What if the devil stood up and quoted every word verbatim? That doesn't make it right. That doesn't make it right. All he's got to do is raise his voice in the wrong place. Because the Greek does not have, that's a New Testament now, does not have upper and lower case and punctuation as we know it. It is by the inflection and the rise and fall, the understanding is there. Now what if he put the wrong emphasis? What if he led the people astray? Why, he said, when he came to Eve, that's all he did. It was the emphatic denial. No, no, how could it be a God who loves you? Who says he's your father? Now would a father be that way to his child? inflection, the way he talked to her. If the word is not correctly divided, it doesn't matter if the people would read the word verbatim and say, I believe it, because the next thing you'd say, well, what do you believe about this word here that you just read to me? Well, it could be this, it could be this, it could be this. That's true. It might be three different things or 13 different things that people may surmise. But what does it say? What is the definitive? See, he didn't have to listen to the devil. Again, it's a religious sin. As at the beginning, so at the end, so deceitful. Watch it now. It is not just merely every old day sin, committing adultery, getting drunk, using God's name in vain. It is not that. No. You remember years ago, many years ago, you old timers, I preached on the disappointments, the judgment. The harlot isn't going to be disappointed there. She knows where she's going. The drunkard won't be disappointed. The bootlegger, the gambler, the liar, the thief, he won't be disappointed. But the man who thinks he is right, there is the disappointment. That is the fellow who came and said, Lord, haven't I preached the gospel? Haven't I cast out devil? Haven't I done great and wonderful things in your name? Now listen, it could only happen at the end time. How much time we got? Well, we're going to quit after this one. We'll quit now with this, Acts the second chapter. Now look at this. Now let's understand it. At Pentecost, they said, these people are drunken. And Peter said, they are not drunken. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is that spoken by the prophet Joel. It'll come to pass in the last days. Pentecost was not the last days. Pentecost introduced a repeat. The Alpha for the Omega, the last day. I'll pour my spirit upon ALL flesh. Your sons and your daughters prophesy. Your young men see vision. Your old men dream dreams. And on my servants and handmaids, in contradistinction to yours, I'll pour out of my spirit. And then it says, and I'll show wonders in heaven above, and signs in earth beneath, and blood and fire smoke, and the sun turned to dark, moon to blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord. It tells you flat right there that at the end time, the Spirit of God would anoint anybody and everybody who wanted to be anointed, and they could do signs and wonders in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they would end up as chaff in the tribulation or the lake of fire. Because there's two groups of people, his and the others. That's what it says in Peter. The Lord sent the flood upon the world of the ungodly. It wasn't the cosmos of God that went down. It went up in an ark. Always there's two of everything, twins. So when God has a world, Satan has a world. If God has sons and daughters, Satan has sons and daughters. If God has a cosmos, Satan has a cosmos. If God has a word, Satan has a word. And if God has a new Jerusalem, Satan has got one that's known as the lake of fire. At the very end, he defies God. And you know something? The people within defy God. Satan's kingdom is based upon defiance of God. And there's only one way you defy God, and that is by going contrary to truth. There isn't any other way. Because the definition of God is word. Don't tell me God is undefined like some spirit glob, a great big glob of air kind of spirit flooping around. That's pantheism. That's idolatry. What about you men? Why, goodness me, some of you come out of family. How many in your family, Gene? 10 in your family? Well, there you are, 10 children. And you know who the father was? His dad, Brother Petrie. One man reproducing himself in 10. And you don't say to each kid, there goes the father, Brother Petrie. Right, he's got Gene, he's got a twin sister, and right down the line. Perhaps the biggest family representative. And when you saw Gene, you didn't see his father. When you saw his father, you didn't see Gene. But the same life. Follow what I'm trying to say? It's just that simple, brother, sister. No big mystery to all these things. Now, we got down here. Yes, here it is right here. Your sons and your daughters. On my sons and my daughters. But it says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's exactly true. Jesus said to these people, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. But the Bible distinctly says, cast out devils in my name, heal the sick and raise the dead. What was it? They were simply anointed. The Pentecostal church could be the only church that qualifies for that. And at the end time, because the Pentecostals believed the baptism with the Holy Ghost had tongues as an evidence and equated one to the other. They are now at every single church. The Roman Catholic Church accepts it. The Anglican Church accepts it. The Lutheran Church. Every church in essence accepts it, though every church individually does not, in the sense that every member accepts it. But basically, every church has to acknowledge it. How are you going to get away from it? Now, see, there is a disappointment. See, that deceitfulness. That is what I'm so constantly misunderstood for. It is not that I want to be different. I don't want to be different, but I've got to be honest. Okay, we'll start on Sunday, Lord willing. Talk about that deceit for a minute and then go right on with what he's saying. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, again, we approach your throne of mercy and grace. And thank you for your love and your goodness to us, O Lord God, to make known to us in the end time the truth as it was given by a vindicated prophet. And we know, Lord, that he was vindicated because something answered back to him that did not answer to anybody else and brought forth that which none other could bring forth, though they called upon the same name of what they called was the same God. But, Lord, we know we're living in a last time. We're living when the enemy is so strong and Satan is so strong. He's gathering people everywhere to a finalized worship. And you are doing the same thing. Lord, may we be on the right side. It's not, Lord, tonight if you are on our side. No, sir, we're not that foolish. But tonight, Lord, we want to be on your side. Help us, O God, whatever it may take. We know we can't change ourselves. The leopard cannot change his spot. The dog cannot be turned into a lamb anymore. And the hog can be turned into a sheep. We know that, Lord. We pray tonight, though, Lord. We believe we're part of your great person, yourself, Lord. We're your children, your daughters. And we would come to this place tonight, Lord, where we are one with your word. That's what we want, because we know at the end time, there's going to be that call brought forth. Who is on the Lord's side? Who stays with this word? We want to stay with it, Father, because that word contains life. And that life is immortality. It's an immortal life, an everlasting life. And one day the life within the word that's within our bodies, coming by via of our minds and soul, Lord, will bring forth a body commensurate to the life that lies within it, which will be immortality. Father, I pray that not one person shall miss it. There's not one that needs to. There won't be one that is with it. From you in the beginning, Lord, we know that. But we just pray, Father, that our faith now shall so increase to the place, and that love amongst us such an extent by the Spirit of the living God, there won't be one sick amongst us as an unhealed. There won't be one person. Lord, we know that tonight, that that's possible. And I believe, Father, in it's not only possible, even now, O God, the power of the Holy Spirit works in people's hearts, minds, and lives to bring deliverance as a sign against that day that's shortly to come. Immortality comes into being, a rapture and a wedding supper, and the millennium hard on his heels. Dismiss us with your love and your mercy, your care, Lord. Abide with each one of us. Help us all to serve you loyally according to the word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the